Savage fighting very quickly developed as wave after wave of Southern soldiers were fed into these assaults against the Federals. Confederates made some progress on their left. They made progress on their right early on. But quite soon in the battle, a pocket of very resolute defense formed in the middle of the Union line in a place that came to be called the Hornet's Nest eventually. Some recent scholarship has suggested that the Hornet's Nest may not have been as important a position at Shiloh as everybody thought it was for many, many years. The soldiers at the time seemed to think it was an important position, and I think we should give a good deal of weight to what they thought. The point was, this one part of the Union line did rally, and as the day went on, the Confederate focus shifted toward that point of strongest resistance on the Union line. More and more Confederate units were fed toward the middle, and the most promising avenue of advance really languished. The most promising avenue advance was on the Confederate right flank against the Union left. It was there that the Confederates might have been able to push along the banks or near the Tennessee River and push Grant's army away from the river into a very rough piece of ground that would have been difficult for the Federals to defend successfully. That would have given the Confederates control of Pittsburg Landing on the river, which was vital, because that would have made it very difficult for Don Carlos Buell to play any role in the battle whatsoever. He wouldn't have had a place to ferry his troops over to support the Federals commanded by Grant. But the Confederates did not push that way. Their attention instead went toward the Hornet's Nest. Attack after attack by Confederate brigade after Confederate brigade went against the Hornet's Nest, and the rest of the battle seemed to be suspended in a way. In the end, the Confederates massed artillery and succeeded in carrying the Hornet's Nest. They captured a couple of thousand Union soldiers there, drove the rest out, and then pushed on toward a new line that Grant had established closer to Pittsburg Landing. But it took many hours. It wasn't until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon that the Hornet's Nest finally fell. Now, by that time, Albert Sidney Johnston was dead. He had been shot over on the Confederate right in the area where a great deal of good might have been done. He was hit behind in the back of one of his legs, just about at boot level. He had a surgeon quite nearby, but the bullet cut an artery, and Albert Sidney Johnston bled to death very quickly. A simple tourniquet probably would have saved his life, but it didn't happen. And so the ranking Confederate field commander is dead about 2:30 on the afternoon of April 6th. Command devolved on Gustav Touton Beauregard, who was on a different part of the field, and there was, of course, a lull on the Confederate side while this new command arrangement kicked in. It was hard for Beauregard to come up to speed. It took a while to get news to him, so there's a sort of lull in the fighting, and then the Confederate pressure begins again, and the Hornet's Nest falls. But Beauregard thought toward the end of the day that he would stop the attacks, wait until the morning, and then finish off the Federals. He thought that Earl Van Dorn was going to reinforce him before the fighting began the next day. He also thought that Don Carlos Buell would not reach Grant in time to take part in the fighting the next day. Those are his assumptions. I'll be stronger, Grant will be weaker, I'll finish it tomorrow. At the end of the day, the Federal Army was in considerable disarray. Thousands of Union soldiers had fled panic-stricken from the zones of fighting, and they had cowered along the banks of the Tennessee River, literally hugging the banks of the river for protection against the artillery and musketry. A good part of Grant's army simply disappeared during the fighting on April 6th. But Grant's great qualities as a general shone through on the 6th. He at no point panicked. That is one of the very great virtues he had as a general. As William Tecumseh Sherman said one time, the enemy didn't scare Grant. They scare me, said Sherman, scare me like hell sometimes, but they don't scare Grant. And that's the way Grant was here. He was absolutely imperturbable in battle. And he oversaw the construction of a successful defensive line buttressed by strong artillery close to Pittsburg Landing, and that enabled the Federals to hold on, to hold the landing, and that night Buell linked up with Grant. Don Carlos Buell reached the field. He ferried his 20,000 men across the river before daylight on the 7th of April, 1861.